As it's written in Isaiah 53, and we're going to start with Psalms 40. It says there, if you believe our report, and that report is that Father said, let us create man in our image, including himself. And therefore came the Son, the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to believe puts you in that position whereby he's going to bless you. And when he blesses, then you can rest assured with that wing over you, he will always be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Now, this 40th Psalm is actually, before he was ever born, the Messiah's prayer and praise in view of future blessings. That is to say, where he could bless you. So, let's go with it. Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. You know what? He always does. So many people say, I hope he heard me. Don't worry, he did. But he's going to answer it for what is best for you, his will. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Each of us come from that clay. We do. And the miracle of birth. And verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And there that Lord of righteousness, which will be the subject this afternoon, that new song that he sang, how precious it is and how much it means to us. And we're going to go into that in great detail. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And you got a lot of that going on in the world today. People will mislead you if you allow it. But you've got the hammer. That's the Word of God. It separates lies and fiction from truth. Because God has written, example in Mark 13, hey, behold, I foretold you everything. You don't have to look any other place to know what tomorrow brings. It is written. Have you read it? That's the question. Have you read it? That's the way you find out. And that's the way he blesses and the way he knows. Verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Parting of the Red Sea, feeding the children in the desert. Every mother that has a child she's worried about, praying, he touches. He guides. He protects. You could never, never come up with how many blessings our Heavenly Father does for His children. But it's all that, even the sacrifice of His life on the cross was to usward. He did it for us. Not for Himself, not for anyone else, but you who believe, whomsoever. Sick sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Do you know what he wants? He requires your love. He loves you so much. But he expects you, which is only fair and right, for you to love him in return. To return that love. If you want his blessings. Otherwise, you can do without. It's your choice, totally. You can do without if you want to, or you can love him, even though many times we fall short. But if you love him, he's going to love you in return. Why? You're his child. And he paid that price on the cross for you when you believe. You know, many people think, well, how could he know me? Well, hey, why wouldn't he? You're different than anyone else. Your DNA is totally different. Your fingerprints, as you've heard me say many times, are different. You're unique. because he wanted someone just like you. So naturally he hears you, and naturally he loves you. He created you, but he doesn't want any burnt offerings. He doesn't want any great miracles that you think you could do to play. He wants your love. Love is the most powerful thing in the world. That's why he destroyed the first earth ages, because he loved you. He even loved that third that went astray. So, therefore, what a father we have. You could never count the miracles, the wonderful things that he has done for us. It hurts me when I hear someone say, I just wish he would do something for me. I could give them a right real good lecture in about 5 minutes of it, just like that. Fix them up good, okay? Because they need it. That's tough love, and when it's due, it's due. Because he loves you and reaches out to you. That's why he left these sacraments, showing his love for you, that you could participate in it, that you could touch him, that you could feel him in the presence of that Holy Spirit today, leading us, guiding us, and directing us. There's no accidents, basically, if you're a strong Christian. He's on the throne, and things kind of go as where he's in control as he would have them. So he did not want those sacrifices, but are your ears open? Do you have ears to hear and eyes to see? That's what's important. So few people in the world do today. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. You've heard that quoted by Paul in Hebrews chapter 10. Well, he comes in the volume of the book. This one. He's here. He is the living word. The flesh, the word actually became flesh, and he walked among us. Emmanuel, God with us. And in this book, well, I'm just a little confused. Then start reading. Start studying. Get it straight. Get it on. He loves you. But this is why, and you've heard me many times say, haven't you ever read Isaiah 43, verse 26? What does it say? It's your father pleading with you. Hey, child, remind me of my promises. He hadn't forgot them. He knows. He wants to know if you do. If you have done your homework. If you haven't, hey, forget it. But when you remind him of that promise, and he reaches down and he touches you, he says, hey, continuing in that verse 26, if you remind me, then we can talk about it. We can communicate. Have you ever communicated with the Holy Spirit? Do you know what you're talking about? Do you know what he's talking about? Then he says, I can justify you. I can make it right with you because he's righteous. Righteous meaning he always does right. You get what you got coming to you. Okay? You deserve it and you get it. That's the way it is. And always thank him because it's always in love, and he certainly does. We are so fortunate that he came in this volume of the book because you have it. And you can receive it. Your ears are open. And do you know something? That's precious. Because in this particular generation, there's not, out of the percentage, there's not all that many people, though there are many, that have eyes to see and ears to hear. And he continues, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Well, it should have been. He was the living word. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. He laid it out in this word, these volumes, exactly as it's written. He laid it out for you to absorb. Verse 10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. You know what the great congregation is? It's the children that love him. He considers them great. Why? Because he's righteous. He is the Lord of righteousness. That means he always does right by you, because you're going to get what you deserve. And the quicker you realize that, then the quicker you can please him and receive blessings. But you know what the main thing is? He's concerned about the congregation. When you learn something, share it with that congregation. There's people starving. They need help. And God's elect can help them by setting an example. Not by forcing themselves on someone. Not by hammering them. But showing simply the way you live. Because when you receive the blessings of God, it does not go unnoticed. Gifts from God speak for themselves. Verse 11. Would not thou thy tender mercies from me? Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. That's a good prayer for you. A good word for it. To tell him the same thing. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. In other words, they've laid on me the sins of the world as I hang on the cross. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs on my head, therefore my heart faileth me. On the cross he did. Though he was innocent, he took on all that sin to have the right, when you sin and repent, to say, I forgive you. When he paid that price. Many of them. But how he loved you. And how he did he complain about paying that price? No, he did not open his mouth. He paid it for you. And though they laid all those things upon him, God never forsook him. God was always with him, because you know why? Emmanuel, God with us, he was. Verse 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. 14, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. And that's as it should be. You know, many people mock the Lord Jesus Christ today. After all that he has done for us. On television, in politics, everywhere. They mock him. You know something? Boy, are they going to get it. Payday is coming. And they'll get theirs. And who knows? Maybe it'll square them away where in the millennium they'll listen to common sense. Verse 15, let them be desolate for a reward of their shame. They say unto me, aha, emphasized. Okay. And you've heard it. 16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And that's what you need. You need the Lord magnified. That magnifies the word in your mind, whereby the Holy Spirit can communicate with you much easier, much better. Oh, he can do whatever he wants to, but we are limited sometimes. But it paves that way that he can give blessings. You see, that's what this psalm is about. Is Christ himself looking forward to future blessings that he can give the children. Don't want your burnt offerings. I want your love. That's what he wants. Last verse to complete. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Do you know something? He didn't. Our Father was right there with him. But this is for your benefit. So that you know also, when you're down, he's going to pick you up if you allow it. When he speaks to you, when he touches you. You know, so many people today that are hardened will say, well, it was just an accident. Do you understand that hurts his feelings? When he gives you a blessing and you give somebody else credit for it, what do you think that makes him feel like? And I'll say it again. When he gives you a blessing and you give somebody else credit for it, how do you think that makes him feel? He has feelings just like you do. It hurts him. And therefore, guess what? You'll pay a few penalties before you get another blessing. But those that love him, you know, he knows we're not perfect. And the reason he paid the price on the cross is for our forgiveness. So talk to him. Repent. Let him know you love him, because that's what he wants from you. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, we're going to pick it up here with about verse 5. How precious it is that his love for the children and what he considers them, how he considers them. That's why we're going here. Listen to him in verse 5. First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, that's living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Do you understand what he said there? You're a building block in the very many-membered body of Christ to offer up spiritual gifts. What's that? Love. Loving the people, understanding, well, why is it sacrificial? Because that's what God wants. He wants your love. And do you know something? He deserves it. And when it pays great dividends. It blesses him. And when you bless him, boy, is he going to bless you. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, and he was that volume, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Will never be confused. Will understand the clarity of God's plan, how salvation actually works, and that most of all that you have a destiny and a purpose, and God expects you to fulfill that destiny, to be blessed of all people. Do you understand what he said? I've got a chief cornerstone. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the volume of the book. And he's there as an example to you. And you're a building block. You're a stone also. We're speaking spiritually here. And a stone that can offer spiritual sacrifices. Again, you heard him say in Psalms 40, and I could tell you Hosea 6:6 and many other places, I don't want your burnt offerings, I want your love. That's what I want you to sacrifice to me. Verse 7, wherefore, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. I mean, if you're not going to love him, that's your appointment. To be cut way short, to come up short, to come up short in life. And why does he become a stumbling stone? You see, this is a real sad, sad thing. Because you've got people that will sit in a church pew all their life. Good people. And they've been told, follow the one that flies you away. Follow him. When you stop and think of the reality of that as the volume of the book declares it, he's the false Christ. He's the one that will cause you a ticket to hell if you listen. It is deception and it is lies. And it's contrary. So therefore, well, how does Christ become a stumbling stone? Because of Antichrist. If you don't know the difference in the stones, if you don't know the true stone from the anti-stone, you're in a heap of hurt. And it's getting late in the day to even be finding out. And it will cause you to stumble all the way to the pit if you're not real careful. Thank God for the millennium. We've got work to do, my friends. But God loves us, and with His help, we can get it done. We can cut it. We can plow deep, and we'll keep plowing. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. It's God's own people, if you would. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's not a stumbling stone to you. You walk in that light, and that light is Christ. That light is the Holy Spirit, as He lights the way for you in life, showing you, speaking to you, leading you, blessing you, praising you. That's what that Psalm 40 was about. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That means His love. How he loves you and how He loves His people. And so it is, so precious. Did you ever understand you were a peculiar people or God's own people? Why? Because you believe. And you humbly approach His throne. And you humbly say, Father, bless me, help me. Skip on to verse 20, if you would. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? I mean, you had it coming, so don't gripe, okay? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. You know, we have had a lot of people take a lot of things for granted. They don't even know when they wake up in the morning what's really happening in this world or what has happened in the world. They've never tasted. Talk about being buffeted in war that pays for the liberty we have in this great nation with men and women giving their lives so that you have freedom. They don't complain. They keep marching. And they taste. I mean, they don't want to go to hell because we've already been there. We know what it's like. Don't complain about it. But you see, people in this world today wake up in the morning, hey, we're free. You bet you're free. But it cost an awesome price. And don't ever forget it. Christ provides. Christ blesses. And as those Christian soldiers, and they were, march on and still march, they do it gladly for us. That we can have this liberty, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. It's a precious commodity that God arranged in these end times especially. Don't ever forget it. And don't ever forget to be thankful that you've had people like that in the past and present that stand that front whereby we have the right to help people, to love people, to lead people. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. A lot of people would say, well, I just want to follow in the footsteps of Christ. And then when somebody begins to beat them up a little bit, they start squalling. They crucified Christ. I mean, you want to walk in His footsteps? Then you better toughen up. You better get your big boy britches on. Okay? Because you're going to need it to contend in these end times. And certainly God blesses those that believe and know I am with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Verse 22. Who did no sin. He was innocent. We're not. Okay? Just face it, we're not, he was. Neither was guile found in his mouth. you can read this in Isaiah 53:9, where it says he was, even though he was innocent, he was hung between two malefactors, two murderers, and was buried in that same verse in a rich man's tomb. Why? Because he was buried in his uncle's tomb, Joseph of Arimathea. God has a perfect plan. And have you read it? I mean, right there, that in history. And so it is. Verse 23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When they beat him, he didn't beat back. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Why? Because he was the Lord of righteousness. You know, his body took the stripes. We get the healing. We're about to partake of his body. And we're going to get that healing. If you have need, let him know. Can you do that? Just, you don't even have to say it out loud. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you mightily. 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He took the stripes and you get the healing. You get the protection. He did it for you. Again, do you have any doubt? Because he loves you. He loves you mightily when you return that love to him. One more verse to complete. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Do you know who that shepherd is? There's only one. You have under shepherds. But the shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's right there for you. And as it is written, his body took the stripes, and you get the healing.
The mark of the beast.